Good afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Friday, to get you through another crazy, wild, maddening day of news that we're going to figure out together. Live on the Jason Ranch on AM 770 KTTH. Streaming live on the brand new KTTH smartphone app. Got a lot to get to. In an effort to indoctrinate your kids early, Democrats have a new proposal. And that is what's trending.
What's trending in the classroom?
They want to push all their woke indoctrination on your kids earlier than they do currently. Right now, it is mandatory to send your kid to school or school your kid at the age of 8. Democrats want to make that age 6. I believe it also has a couple, maybe, Republican supporters. We'll see. Whatever the reason they give, even though I do believe that it has to do with indoctrinating your kids early, whatever the reason they want to tell you, understand that it is not quite fully thought through, in my view. This bill would require parents to have their kid in school at 6 if you're home-based, if you are teaching your kid at home, homeschooled. You have to file an annual declaration of intent and keep certain records beginning when the child is 6 instead of 8 years old. So if they were to go ahead and do this, I have a question. Well, a few, actually. Who's paying for it? You do realize it costs money to send kids to school. And we're spending a lot of money per pupil in Washington State. You're now going to add an extra 2 years to that? Do we still have to spend the same amount per student when they're going into school at 6? Not actually learning anything, and really it's just daycare that's more expensive? Do we have enough space? Because I thought our schools were getting pretty crowded, except in Bellevue, I guess they can... They're closing a bunch because they don't have enough students. But do we have enough space to add every single year 2 extra years worth of kids? Because I haven't heard any answers to that question. Do we have the staff? I thought we had a significant crisis when it came to staffing at schools. Not just school teachers, but administrators, nurses, janitors, school bus drivers. Who thought this through? Oh, no one did. No one did. Because when you are moved by an ideology, and I think ideology is behind this, when you're moved by ideology, all of a sudden you're just gung-ho. You've got the idea in your mind. You're not really thinking it through. You don't really care. That's not the point. You've got your blinders on. And of course, there are some people who love the idea. Here's a mother speaking with Cairo 7 TV. She doesn't understand why anyone wouldn't want to bring their kid to school 2 years old earlier.
That seems insane. I can't believe that's even a thing. Insane. And she's been going to preschool since she was 3. Uh-huh. And I felt like I felt like she could have started sooner.
I mean, as soon as I gave birth, I was like, send her to school. She's out. Cut the cord. Okay, get her out. Put her in class. Okay, fine. You can clean her off first, but then you send her to school. Get her in early. It is important to get kids. It's funny because it's not like I'm against starting school a little bit earlier for kids. And it's clearly important to socialize kids. But I do think we overstate the amount of learning that goes on when they're that young. They learn social cues. They learn how to exist with other students. But they're not learning anything academically. And the way that I think people talk about this is they think they're learning something academically. They're not. They're not.
But how many kids that age aren't in structured school right
There's
now?
There's enough right now that they have to consider this as a law. I don't know what the percentage is, because you're right. There's going to be. But again, right now, we're struggling with student space, right?
Yeah.
We're struggling with daycare. We're struggling with all of this. And all of a sudden, you're going to mandate it across the board. Not everyone wants to do it that early. Not everyone wants to mandate it that early. Pete, for example, he's a granddad. He said, just let the parents decide. What do we got to get the government involved?
I think we need diversity in our society.
Sure.
And different points of view and different educational styles. Uh-huh. And I think if parents feel like they want a little more time with their child before they go off to school, I think they have that right.
Yeah, I don't. who has a problem with that other than Democrat lawmakers? Why is that controversial?
I don't think it should be.
It shouldn't be. Unless the intent is to what? Indoctrinate kids. Let's get them in early. We, you know what? We don't have enough of the kids to get in front of them. All the stuff about BLM, all the stuff about different genders. We got to get them in early. We're teaching this stuff early now. That's all that this is about. I guarantee you this is all that this is about. Look at the curriculum. How old are you in preschool?
Like four?
Three, 4 years old, something like that. So what grade are you? What would you count it as a six-year-old?
Like either first or second grade.
Is it first still?
Yeah. Just depends on when your birthday falls, basically.
So what do you think the curriculum is there? Calculus? You think we're adding that to the...
Yeah.
No, we're not. It's all about gender. That's what it's all about now. Did you know there right now we've got about $400 million in excess funds in our budget? And folks are looking at the past year and a half, 2 years, 2.5 years, really, where kids fell behind academically because of COVID. You've got a Republican, Brad Hawkins, and I believe, again, this is also bipartisan. He's saying, how about this? Let us extend the school year by 5 days to at least try to make up for some of the lost time when we shut down all of the schools.
We have massive learning loss all across our state. We have a significant budget surplus. If we cannot do this now, when will we ever be able to do that?
So not everyone likes that idea. Probably students that probably definitely don't like that idea. It is smart. I generally recommend it. Generally recommend it. But there are some folks like Jeannie of the Conservative Ladies of Washington group. She has an interesting idea that will never, ever, ever get the thumbs up, but I like it.
It would be better, I think, to create a fund that parents could access to hire private tutors to help their children catch up with the learning that was denied them during the shutdown.
100% love that idea. Never going to happen. Will never happen. You think the government is ever going to give you a fund to use it to... They don't like vouchers. They don't like school choice. And you think they're going to give you a fund to hire a tutor? What if you hire a tutor that doesn't teach your kid that there are 17,000 different genders that you can have all at once or never at all, or many throughout the day, depending on your mood? You think they're ever going to... I love the idea. I'm down with Jeannie. But there's no way on God's green earth that that will ever happen. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
It's Friday, and that means I get to talk movies because I actually saw one this week ahead of the weekend release. Knock at the Cabin is the latest M. Night Shyamalan film. It's arguably his most straightforward one. While on vacation at a remote cabin, an adopted girl and her two fathers are visited by four total strangers, except they're all armed. And they've got this pretty horrible demand. Someone in the family has to kill one of the dads or the young daughter, or the world will end. They have limited opportunities, though. At least according to the visions of the four strangers, one played by a brilliant David Bautista. Every single time the family says no, millions of people will die until the entire world ends.
You have to understand that we cannot and will not choose who is to be sacrificed for you. And just as importantly, we cannot act for you. You cannot kill yourselves.
We're not choosing anyone. We're not sacrificing anyone. Not now, not ever.
Even if it means the death of everyone else in the world.
Yes. Even if I believe the world was at stake, which I don't, that's what it means. I would watch the world die 100 times over before having...
Christ. Waste of time. They're never going to choose to do this. I don't blame him.
That last voice is actually Rupert Grint from the Harry Potter series. Now, the four strangers, the hostage takers, they are convinced that their visions are going to become a reality. And as the family continues to say no to the sacrifice, they witness on the news the results of their decisions. And the couple, played by Jonathan Groff and Ben Aldridge, they end up starting to question everything.
I don't know what's going on here. But where are the keys to the truck you guys came in through? I'm taking my family. And we're leaving.
Do you really think that everything that happened today, everything we've seen, do you really think it's all just a coincidence?
Yes.
I think it's all coincidence. Some horrible, unexplainable coincidence. Or it has to be a trick. I have to believe that.
You already don't believe that.
Knock at the Cabin will likely be the most efficient, taut, and satisfying thriller you're going to see all year. It is only 100 minutes long, and it dives into what I think is a really compelling plot. And it starts right off the top of the film. I mean, they get into this movie within the first few minutes. It is steeped in religious imagery, religious messaging, and it is just beautifully shot and edited. The acting on top of it is outstanding. This is easily Batista's best role, showing he's been wasted in the Marvel films. For those of you who don't know who he is, he's the blue one in the Marvel films, specifically Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, I think that it is an intense movie, but it's not scary. Some people are calling it a horror film. I don't think it's a horror film. It's exactly what it sets out to be. And you are, as the audience, left wondering, just like the characters, if the end of the world is near or they're just four crazy people with visions who are torturing them and their family because of their delusions. This is a clever film without leaning into any of the tricks or the gimmicks that you know M. Night Shyamalan for, beyond, of course, the initial conceit of the sacrifice to end a possible apocalypse. And because the acting is so impressive, you're going to find yourself siding with or at least understanding every single character in the film. And it creates this inner conflict in you as an audience member that I think really delivers an outstanding conclusion. It's emotionally satisfying. This is a film that becomes equal parts character study, but also apocalyptic thriller. Knock at the Cabin is rated R, mostly for language, some violent imagery, though I don't think it's especially gory. In fact, it's not gory. I don't really think it's worth more than a PG-13 rating. I absolutely loved Knock at the Cabin. I highly recommend you check it out this weekend. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
We're hearing more from the small business owner in Soto, who has been running this business. It's a family business. She's been running it for a while, but it's actually over 100 and I think 10 years old. It's called Emmanuel's Rug and Upholstery Cleaners. And she tells Como TV she's done. She's out.
Well, we've just kind of had it with what's happening in Seattle with our euphemistically termed by the city council and home neighbors.
She doesn't want to deal with the Seattle reality anymore. And particularly in that neighborhood, the reality is that homelessness has taken over. It's not safe. Crime associated with homelessness is through the roof. And she's not getting a response from the city. And you would think that maybe a business that has been around for over 100 years would maybe get a phone call every now and again just to say, how you doing? We know you've got some problems. We're working our best to alleviate some of the issues, but it's really hard work. You would think she would get something, but she's getting nothing. And she's done. She's quitting. Not on the business, but on the business location. She right now, she is surrounded, like all the other businesses, surrounded by broken down RVs, filled with homeless people, many of whom are breaking the law. Many times you've got these RVs that are subject to drug dealing, fencing, human trafficking. The city knows this, and they don't do anything.
I think our worst one was when we had a motorhome back down our truck ramp and ditch their septic into our catch basin, and we got no response from the city, county, or state for hazardous waste dumping. Because it's in a catch basin. The catch basin pumping company said they couldn't take it because of the sewage. And the sewage pumping company said they couldn't take it because it was in a catch basin. So my employees and I put on basically rubber suits and gas masks and a 5-gallon container of Clorox and a pressure jet. And we had to clean it ourselves.
Ugh, imagine having to pressure jet. That's little speckles of stuff is popping.
That sounds so miserable. I can't even imagine.
And yet that's something you have to do if you care about your business, right? I mean, at some point you do have to take care of it, because if you don't, it gets worse. And you know that the city isn't going to do anything. This is a business owner who's been victimized time and time and time again.
And we've got security cameras. We've had trucks stolen out of our locked lot here on the side. The city of Linwood called us the day after the truck was taken to let us know they had our truck. And it took the city of Seattle Police Department almost 2 weeks to let us know that our truck had been found.
That's not because cops don't want to tell you. It's because so many cops have left the department, well over 500, since the reforms took place, pushing cops out. This has just been too much. And how many times have we told you stories like this in the last 2 years? And what do we hear from city leadership? Seattle is thriving. We have a thriving downtown core. It's vibrant. Really? What's vibrant about it? Do you even go downtown? I know City Hall is there. Do you open your eyes when your chauffeur is driving you to the office? Do you not look outside the window? Or has your staff instructed the driver to take a very, very specific route that they worked hard to clean up to give the impression that they have done something at the city level? Seriously. If you were a city leader and you heard these kinds of stories, wouldn't you say something? Wouldn't you make a big deal about it? Wouldn't you come out and basically tell the businesses that are just like this one, but haven't quite made the decision, but they're leaning in the direction of leaving? Wouldn't you get out in front of them and say, don't give up on us. We've got a plan. Here it is. Here's what we're doing. Every once in a while, we hear that line that we've got a plan, but they don't actually tell us what the plan is. They say, oh, we're going to go services. We're offer services and, you know, policing and yeah. Yeah, but what's the plan? Those are just, you're just telling us words. Like, thank you, you know what a noun is, but can you tell us a specific action plan? Police services. You know, it takes some time.
The expense of being in business in Seattle, our clients are nervous coming down here to drop off. My employees don't want to be here early in the morning after dark or weekends when we're here alone. Every Monday morning when we come in, there's graffiti and needles and the mark of our lovely burning mattress that we had last Monday. Jeez. And we're just tired. We're tired of fighting with it.
You can tell from her voice, right, that she's done, right? That's the sound of someone who truly is tired. You can just tell. And let me say, when you're in a location for over 100 years, the bar to be tired is probably pretty high. Like, it probably takes a lot to get you to that point. Where do you think she's going to go? She's not going to stay in Seattle. Does she go into Linwood? Does she go into Bellevue? Sad part is, while it might be a little bit better than Seattle, she's not going to escape the problems. Not anymore. Because what happens in Seattle doesn't stay in Seattle. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
Last week, about 30 middle school students in Columbia, Missouri, they were taken to a drag performance hosted by a group called Inclusion Plus. It was at the Columbia Values Diversity Breakfast. A parent ended up posting a school permission slip online for this event on Facebook. And all it said was there would be songs, there would be quote-unquote performances, but they didn't actually mention anything about a drag show. Nothing, not even a hint at it. And yet, parents realized, after the event took place, yeah, it was a drag show. So now the attorney general in Missouri, his name is Andrew Bailey, he is now exploring quote-unquote all legal options against the middle school officials who said that this was okay, who brought these kids to a drag show.
You know, state statute in Missouri governs how human sexuality is to be taught by educators, and it doesn't authorize drag shows. There's also a parental notification requirement. So the school district undermined the statutes by taking the kids to the drag show without notifying the parents.
Now, the school district put out a statement, said that attendees are, quote, not provided details of the performances in advance of the event, which is... Let's say that that's true. Okay. Why would you agree to go bring kids to an event in which you don't know the details of? Wouldn't that be a little bit of a red flag? Like, for adults, okay, I get it. But if you've got middle school students, wouldn't you be like, okay, you don't have to tell us in writing, but can you just get on the phone and just let us know so we know that this is children appropriate? It's very odd. They say to describe the drag show portion of the annual gathering as, quote, a dance and singing performance. It's called the Inclusion Diversity Breakfast. That should be a hint that it's going to be a little bit inappropriate for kids. Bailey's office is taking an all-hands-on-deck approach. He spoke with Fox Business News.
And so what this is evidence of a woke left-wing ideology. And that's why we're going to stand up and fight back, because we're going to make sure that our schools are about education, not indoctrination, and that parents have a say in that process.
Now, I love that. And by the way, this should be celebrated. The only people who get mad at this and claim that it's transphobic, even though, by the way, drag queens aren't necessarily transgender, they say it's transphobic. Folks on the left who see no problem whatsoever bringing like a four-year-old to a bar where there is a drag show, where dollar bills are being stuffed in a drag queen's panties. Like, those are the people who see no problem with this. But folks like Bailey represent the average parent.
We've called for the resignation or termination of any school official who knew or should have known about this shameful behavior. And so that needs to happen now to restore the district's trust with the parents.
So we'll see what they end up doing. They say all legal options. They might end up pressing charges. That depends on what the law says in Missouri. You're listening to the Jason Rantz Show. At 4:45, we do a segment called You Pick the News. And like the title, you pick the news that I discuss by voting on a story. Here are the two options. Homeowners checking on possible raccoon nest in front yard locked out of home by intruder. Or nearly 1 year later, U.S. figure skaters are still waiting on their Olympic medals. What exactly is the holdup? Is Joe Biden to blame? You get to vote. Text your answer, which one you want. Text your preference to 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rantz Show.
...465-8770 for a link to download.
Sammamish, Kent, Olympia, Everett.
This is The Big Local on The Jason Rantz Show.
Centralia, Lakewood.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for The Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in the city of Redmond, where the Redmond Police Department says it's using this new technology, GPS tracking technology, to find suspects more efficiently. Rather than get into a high-speed chase, officers from the front of their vehicles are able to launch this tracker. And it's about the size of a softball. It's like it's a bigger puck, I guess, like a hockey puck. I've actually got video of it being used on my Twitter feed at twitter.com/JasonRantz, or just text the keyword Rantz, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. You can see how it looks. You've got to get, obviously, the car, the patrol vehicle, pretty close, not too close, but within a few feet. And then you push a button inside the car, and then it just fires this puck and it gets stuck on the back of the vehicle that you're chasing. Then you stop chasing it and you're able to see where the car goes. So I'm imagining you're not speeding after it, but you're kind of generally behind. Let's say it pulls over into, you know, a parking lot of a mall. Well, it tells you on your screen where it is, so you can go there and track the suspect. Now, if I'm being honest, I don't quite see how this would work in a world in which people know they can just speed away, because just get out of Redmond and you're in another, let's say you get into Bellevue. How much coordination is there going to be? Let's say you get into Bellevue, into Seattle. Well, you definitely know that there's not enough police officers. And if you're in a stolen vehicle, all you have to do is then pull into, let's say, a mall. Unless the car, the officer is very close behind you, just get out, park the car, and just walk away. There's no probable cause that you were the person in that vehicle. Again, I'm not giving advice.
Yeah, you're right in the instruction manual.
I'm not. I'm just saying that's what to me appears like it would be a bit of a problem. Now, we're going to talk with the police chief of Redmond next week. And I'll ask him that question. He says, or at least the department says, they've been able to use the tracker to catch suspects. I'd like to know the circumstances of that, just because I'm curious how this would all work. If it is effective, okay. I certainly like the idea of it. I just don't know how effective it's going to be in large cities. Right? I don't get it.
I mean, it seems like one of many tools that could be used in a situation such as this. I can see how it could be useful. I don't think it would work in every situation.
Well, and they say one of the issues, one of the crimes they say they can use this is with DUIs. That doesn't seem like a good idea for DUI. Don't you want to make sure that they're pulled over immediately because they're posing a clear and present risk on the road? Not because they're speeding, but because they're swerving all over the place. Another thing they say for human and drug trafficking. Wouldn't you want to trail that person the whole time and be very, very close?
Well, it would make it easier to trail them because you're constantly tracking them.
You're tracking them from what kind of distance, though?
Well, yeah, but you know their real-time location.
Yeah, but if you've got someone who's involved in human trafficking, it feels like you wouldn't want to even risk them getting ahead of you, even if you've got a GPS, because, again, they're most likely in a stolen vehicle.
I mean,
I assume that the car realizes that it's being tracked, or is it a trick and we shouldn't even be talking about it?
That's where I don't know.
Because it is, again, it's about...
I mean, you'd probably notice something, right?
Like a...
Yeah.
Like, what was
that? Did I run over a raccoon?
What was that? Then you're going to be like, oh, wait, I'm in Redmond. I'm being tracked. Damn it.
Do you want me to test this out on my way home?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'm down. On top of that, the Redmond PD is also adding an officer's use of force dashboard. It's going to be online. It is online. And it lists how many times use of force occurred during an arrest. On top of that, it gives you all of the demographics of the suspects who were involved in the use of force.
It will capture everything from physical force to strikes or takedowns or anything like that. It is comprehensive and transparent.
That's Police Chief Daryl Lowe speaking with our sister station, Cairo News Radio. He says this is all a part of the department's effort to be a little bit more transparent, or as transparent as they can get, while communicating just some of the details with the public.
In the city of Redmond, force is not used frequently. Well, last year we had over 28,000 calls for service, and we had 0.02% use of force.
So it sounds more like, and I'm using, I don't mean this in a critical way or a derisive way, but it sounds just like publicity for the department being safe, which is good. I think it's important. But it feels like it would be just dismissed as propaganda. Or no, excuse me, copaganda.
Well, Redmond's already kind of come under fire for that because they have those ads during the Mariners games that everybody hates.
What do they hate about it?
They just don't like that they're promoting the police.
Who's they?
The
losers.
People on Twitter. You know who they are.
Who cares?
The people that get mad
Wait, hold on. Are you saying they or they?
They.
They?
Yeah.
Them?
Them.
They? Or they...
Them. The people that get mad when the games get put on this station.
Okay, so people they, not the individual they.
Yes.
Okay. That makes more sense.
You know who I'm talking about.
They're always mad. Who cares? A 46-year-old Marysville woman just earned a 10-year prison sentence for distributing meth and heroin and fentanyl and a lot of it out of her restaurant in Lake Stevens. It's called Fuente de Cafe. Do you think their food is any good?
I bet it's awesome.
It's probably very addictive. But also, and this part is kind of taking her away from Mother of the Year, she used her teenage son to help sell the drugs. Now, he's currently 18, but the U.S. Attorney's Office believe that when he was a minor, he was also being used to help sell and distribute the drug. I get, and I'll be the first one to tell you, there is a lot of value to getting a job as a teenager and getting some real world skills and learning responsibility. This is not the right way. This was a little wrong. Morally, ethically, legally, this is not good. Nick Brown is the U.S. attorney for Western Washington. He says the family used the restaurant as a front for their drug operation.
She and her husband were both responsible for coordinating meats, coordinating deliveries, coordinating the acquisition of large amounts of drugs that were coming up from Mexico through California.
Now, King 5 says, court records say Laura Rodriguez Moreno directed her son to deliver 10 pounds of meth to a customer parked at a restaurant. This was just a day after he was arrested for a larger number of fentanyl pills.
They're receiving anywhere from 40 to 60 to 80 pounds of methamphetamine that they would then distribute.
Wow. And of course, they're getting it from Mexico, drug cartels. Prosecutors said that Rodriguez Moreno and her husband would take their son to meetings to deliver drugs. Why would they do that? Couldn't get a babysitter?
Guess so.
Or is this just we're getting the kid in early? They must be family business.
They must have said, hey, you're going to be a part of this. You're going to help us.
The husband, by the way, is on the run. They don't know where he is. So he's also obviously a part of the story. The kid also being charged for what he did as an 18-year-old. Is that fair?
Doesn't seem fair. Right? I mean, it just depends on his level of involvement, knowledge.
Let's just go into he's fully involved. He was taught that. That's different than maybe like a gang member taking advantage. This is your parents. These are your parents who are forcing you into this. So I'm kind of on the fence.
It's so messed up when you really think about it.
I mean, go into fencing or something. The drug dealing is
fencing?
Just wrong. Well, yeah, it's better. It's better. It doesn't hurt people the same way. Lots of people do fencing.
Name one.
John. What do you mean, name one? I don't know any fencers. You do realize fencing is a thing.
I know it's a thing. It's
homeless
only
people are doing it.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What?
You know, I'm not talking about the sport.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Why don't you Google the crime fencing and you get back to me at the end of this story? Because now I was wondering if this is a bit. But now I'm realizing, just like you not realizing vodka is taxed more than beer, you're just a dum-dum. You reading what it is now?
Yeah.
What'd you learn?
I read the Wikipedia.
Does it involve swords?
No.
What does it involve?
Buying stolen goods in order to resell them for a profit.
Okay. What? How do you not know that?
I've never heard that term.
Oh, my God.
It's in the Olympics.
Yeah, I'm aware of that part, yeah. In what world did that make that context of me saying fencing? In this story, how does that make sense?
I'm sure I was...
Hold on. How does the context make sense? When I'm talking about a family filled with drug dealers, and I'm saying instead of dealing drugs, you should be fencing, which would imply, because the joke is, you're going into another criminal business model.
Well, that explains my reaction.
Okay.
Do you get the joke now? Yes. I bet I'm not the only one listening that thought of the other kind of fencing when you said it.
I bet you're literally the only one in the history of the world who thought that in the context in which we were talking. And I will allow people to text in and tell me if I'm right or if he's an idiot. Those are your only options.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Text 1-800-465-8770. I can't be the only one who knows what fencing is.
I didn't say that.
In the plea agreement, Rodriguez Moreno admitted to distributing more than 16 kilos of meth and nearly a kilo of fentanyl pills. This according to the U.S. Attorney's Office. When she was arrested, law enforcement seized another 17 kilos of meth. Wow. Nearly 2 kilos of heroin. Thousands of fentanyl pills, and more than $100,000 in cash. U.S. attorney said she and her husband put the restaurant and the security of their 5 children at risk when they became drug traffickers. Now those children are without their parents for a significant amount of time. Well, now, don't you feel guilty then for throwing them in jail? You just basically said you orphaned them. I mean, they're not orphans, I guess, because they're still alive, the pair. Or is there... No, I think that counts as an orphan.
I think that definitely counts.
Would you look that up next to fencing?
I've had about enough of you.
Oh, my God. Finally, by the way, former producer Peyton just texted me and said he's with you. But I think that's just because he recognizes the amount of... I'm telling you, he recognizes the amount of grief you're going to get over the course of the next probably year and a half of me never forgetting
this. Look at the text line.
No, everyone says dum-dum.
No, one person said dum-dum. Two people said swords.
I thought Jason meant they should do sword fencing as a healthy extracurricular activity. No, you didn't.
More people are saying swords.
You're
They're
all
siding
liars.
With me.
You're all. I hate you all. You're all liars. I'm on to
yes.
you. No, the only people who are siding with you out of pity.
I don't think
because
that's
I
true.
Just yelled at you and mocked you in real time, and they just feel bad. Sorry, Max. You're on the wrong side of this one. I don't want to say what he wrote.
What does that mean?
I don't even know. You fence stolen gems. There you go. 253. Definitely thought of swords. Shut up. How could you think of swords in that context?
I feel like that's more commonly associated with that term.
Oh, shut
the
up.
Context didn't matter. You say stuff out of nowhere all the time.
You're dummy. This is a dummy. You pick the news in the next segment. You can text your answer or your request. Do you want me to talk about the homeowners who checked on possible raccoons only to find an intruder lock them out of the house? Or would you like me to talk about how U.S. figure skaters are still waiting on their Olympic medals? I'll tell you exactly who's to blame, but only if you want that story to be discussed in the next segment. Text 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. It's the Jason Rand Show.
You pick the topic on the Jason Rand Show.
Oh, well, it was pretty overwhelming. What do you think, one? Yes, the story about... I just like the title. Homeowner checking on possible raccoon nest in front yard locked out of home by an intruder. So, it happened yesterday morning. It happened in Seattle in the Wallingford neighborhood. And of all the neighborhoods in Seattle where I think that this would likely occur, probably would be Wallingford. They say over at King 5, a man is in custody after police said he barricaded himself inside of a home. The SPD was called just before midnight when homeowners said they were locked out. They told police they were in the front yard because they thought a raccoon was nesting. What does that mean?
You heard a raccoon rattling around probably under your porch or something?
Like setting up camp?
Yeah. I mean, normally raccoons travel in like families.
Do they? I've only seen raccoons solo.
No, I used to have a family of raccoons that lived in my backyard.
They're so cute, but also terrifying.
I've never thought they were cute.
The little baby ones?
Okay, maybe the baby
well,
ones,
baby,
yeah.
Baby everything are cute.
Yeah, that's fair.
They say the suspect found an opening when they were looking outside. So I'm assuming then that it wasn't a raccoon, but it was the intruder. He found an opening, got inside the house, and locked the homeowners out. Okay.
They gave him lots of opportunities to come out. They set off these flash bang things and say, hey, you know, you got to come out. And they were hoping he would do that on his own volition, which he never did. I think what the guy was doing is having a nice nap in our bed.
He was having a nap during the flashbangs? So SWAT was there. That's who used the flashbangs. SWAT team surrounded the home. There was a police standoff. They even placed a robot inside to monitor the suspect. My God, it lasted over 4 hours. Maybe he just needed a nap.
That's literally what he was doing. That's what they said.
Yeah, maybe that's he just wanted.
But why break? This is so weird. Super weird.
There were no injuries. They ended up going in. They ended up having taking a nap with him, and then they decided to arrest him. I think they believe he was having some kind of crisis. Now, whether or not it was drug induced or it was mental health, I don't know. It was this intentional, the sneaking into the home, or like was it a ruse of I'm going to rattle some trash bins outside, make you think it's a raccoon, and as you come out, I'll jump in? Or was it just coincidental that he made some noise, he recognized the couple coming out and decided, oh, this is my opportunity to sneak in?
Well, raccoons could have been in on this too.
I don't know if they ever found any raccoons. They are, I mean, just looking at them, and I know you're not supposed to profile, but looking at them, they look kind of shady, like they're up to no good, right? They look like they're scheming.
I mean, obviously, yeah.
What would the raccoons get out of this?
That slap on the wrist?
No. What would they get out of helping the crazy guy?
Oh, I don't know.
What would be the benefit of that?
Pizza crust? I don't know. Maybe he lured him with some food. I don't know.
I don't like that as a motive. I don't how about this? I'm going to go out on a limb. There were no raccoons at all.
I mean, probably. But so this.
Here's a question. And I'm informed purely by movies on this. When you hear, just after midnight, some suspicious sounds outside, don't go check it out. That nothing ever comes of that that's positive. You're either going to get murdered or a homeless guy is going to run into your home and lock you out. Let's say they found raccoons. What are they going to do? Shoo them away? They'll just come back. And probably angry. They'll bring their little raccoon friends. And they'll all come and cause all sorts of havoc. Just let them go. What is the worst that's going to happen?
I don't know. I feel like we're missing the point here of this guy. These people that got their house broken into in the middle of the night and got locked out. That sounds terrible.
It's funny.
Why is that fun? That's mean. You've been laughing at people that have been victims of misfortune a lot this week.
Cairo did this story yesterday night, last night, and one of the quotes from a witness, I think he was just a neighbor that they spoke to, when they found out that SWAT was there, the guy goes, "I'm surprised they still have a SWAT team." And I love that Cairo 7 left it. I think it was Cairo. I love that they left it in the report, in the story. Because that's someone who's very well informed about the state of staffing over at the Seattle Police Department. Like, I didn't even know they still had a SWAT team. Their SWAT team is rather large, actually. God bless them.
For a raccoon, they bring out the SWAT team. Or a fake raccoon hoax.
Why'd you have to bring a SWAT team for someone who barricaded? I know, because it's a bear. But they didn't say he had a weapon. Let's bring in a family of raccoons to negotiate. Pick up the phone. Yeah.
That was a really good raccoon noise.
Oh my gosh. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770.